Welcome to Life and Lattes with Paula, Andy, and Lisa. Three friends, one table, and you. Sit down and let's get three cups deep.
Good morning and welcome to Life and Lattes. It is so great to be with you again, and it is so great to be with Andy and Lisa again. These girls just give me a lift every Wednesday. Sorry if I sound a little bit yucky. I've had a touch of a cold with this freezing change of season here. And the girls are in sleeveless and short sleeves, so they're just making me jealous right now. But the studio is lovely and warm. Good morning, girls.
Good morning.
So it is so great to see you. Today we have got such a juicy topic. This is Lisa's topic, Lisa's fault. I don't know if you saw my Facebook post. I said, today we are going to be talking about men.
It's Lisa's fault.
We're talking about men and vulnerability. And when I say we, I mean Lisa, because Lisa has got a lot to say about this topic. But it is a really fascinating one. And we are going to be unpacking that later in the show in Three Cups Deep. We're going to be talking about, why does society expect men to be strong, stoic, tireless, independent, unshakable? Because they have followed that script straight into burnout, resentment, and emotional shutdown. And the world teaches us that masculinity is measured by the burdens we carry without complaint, the hard work we do without resting, and the silence we keep when it hurts. But that version of masculinity isn't strength. It's pressure, disguised as identity. And you know what? I think men have had enough of that. And if they haven't, they should. Because it's just not necessary. So we're going to be unpacking that.
Lattes have given men a green
permission.
Light.
Yeah.
I think women have had enough of men thinking they need to be.
Yeah.
That is so true.
Yeah.
And men wear masks.
They were saying that everyone used to associate this all with like female qualities or woman qualities, but actually they're just human qualities.
Exactly. That is so, oh my gosh, I feel like we have to press pause and rewind. All the things that we've said, that we say that men can show up with, can be vulnerable, can do all these things that have been traditionally associated with being female, they were never female. They were just human. Wow, Andy. Andy nailed it. I don't even think we need a show now because that's like the Untersticherer. How sexy it is that when I speak Yiddish?
Me and Lisa will be at the beach.
Okay, so we'll be unpacking that a little bit later in the show. And now we are around about the time where we espresso ourselves. And I don't know about you girls, but someone told me there's a war again in Israel. Is there a war? Isn't there? Was it a one-day war? What goes on there, girls?
My kids were very hopeful. My little kids, not my big kids. My little kids were very hopeful there would be a war because they got off school and they were hoping they'd just jump straight into summer vacation. So they were very disappointed.
I heard matric finals were cancelled. Is that true?
For one day.
Oh, it was just one day of finals. Okay.
And they have only been on holiday since February 26th. Literally
was like a comedy of errors that if only it were funny, it was really funny.
So then what happened when they found out the one day war is now over and they actually do have to go to school?
It was everyone, mutiny. One, two, three, did you blink? Back to work. Off you go.
Wow. I don't know how you cope with that, but let's talk.
In fact, the messages went around saying the schools will let us know at 8 p.m. if there is indeed school the next day. I was like, really?
I got a 6 a.m. alert. Lucky you got 8 p.m.
Oh, my goodness.
That's crazy.
That is the definition of crazy. We'll come back to this after the break.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
So we are back on Life and Lattes. These girls have been laughing throughout the ad break, and I have terrible FOMO because I can't hear the audio when the ads are coming through. But so you are now going to espresso that right now. I want to know what was so funny.
I will tell you exactly what that was about. My husband is part of a running group, a men's only, there's about six of them, and they have sort of become each other's therapy group. So all us wives are thrilled about this running group because they actually talk, which is great because my discovery is men often don't talk. Anyway, one of the men on the running group saw that Paula had posted about us discussing male vulnerability on the show today, forwarded it to my husband, and I got a message from Saul saying, should I be worried?
Yes, be very afraid.
I went to reply saying, yes, show your vulnerability. All emotions are welcome.
What I actually said to him is, you'll actually have to listen to the show then. Did you realize?
I think he'll have every incentive to listen to the show. Because, yeah, I think my husband was also a little bit nervous about our topic today.
Aaron was not one drop nervous.
Oh, really? Okay. Let's see. Let's see, Aaron. We'll raise you. Okay, so anything else to share, Anne? Anything on Espresso yourself?
No, we were just actually chatting how when the country shut down for a whole day, my nephew was playing in the semifinals of the league. Like, he's a Premier League basketball player. And suddenly they had their big game against Maccabi Tel Aviv with no audience. Oh. And no one was allowed to go watch because there's obviously not enough room in the bomb shelter for, you know, thousands of people to flock. So it was really awful. Like, they're playing this like really important game and
to an empty stadium. But did they still played it though. They still played it.
They played the two teams, but I'm saying like empty. Like, it's just horrible to watch and think, like, you know, the crowd creates the atmosphere and the vibe and the energy, and it was just like, gosh, it's like another reminder how it like permeates these like crazy, seemingly like insignificant parts of life, but very much a massive part of life.
Massive,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, crazy. it's so disruptive, and it's so bizarre. It's honestly so bizarre. I've actually given up on the news, on checking the news. I now find out about wars in Israel from like people who will say to me, oh no, there's a war today. So I'm like, because I used to be on the news 5 times a day, checking everything. I knew absolutely everything about everything. And you know what? I don't think it was very good for my mental health. So I've given that a break.
Or do a news fast.
A news fast, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So we are now ready.
More smoothies and chia seeds.
Yeah. I've actually had one already today. I've tried the mixed berry flavor. So that was very exciting. I don't know, is this what getting old is? Okay, the most exciting thing in your life is the new thing you put into.
I've got to tell you, I am another public service announcement. I have the next thing of getting old, apparently. My eyes have started watering, but like really profoundly watering. Like, I just assumed this because I have light blue eyes and maybe I was getting sensitive to the sun. No, apparently, for all you women out there, a further sign of us aging is your eyes also start watering.
So much to look forward to.
Wow. Yeah, that one I didn't see coming. I thought you were going to say your eyes are deteriorating.
I have not been adequately prepared or warned. So I am adequately preparing and warning all of you who are under 40 and listening. I don't know how many of you there are. But you may get sore shoulders. You may get watery eyes.
But you know what? It doesn't work. It's like when a person's pregnant. No, a woman is pregnant. Sorry, I'm so PC. When a woman is pregnant, you know.
What to expect when you're expecting?
Yeah, they don't want to know. And you can tell them till you're blue in the face. And they actually don't want to know. And it's just too theoretical. So it sneaks up on you and then you're faced with it.
And no matter how well prepared you are, there are just many surprises you could never foresee.
Okay, well, I just think the watering eyes was a little excessive.
I really didn't actually think that was a thing. It is unnecessary.
Unnecessary.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, funny.
Anybody got a single shot today? Single shot.
Oh my God. Single shot.
Girls, we do this every week. You need to do your homework. I'm having a sip of my cappuccino. Think quickly. Okay. They are staring at each other. That's fine. We can move on to Three Cups Deep if you so choose.
I think let's go there because I think it's a big topic.
It's going
anyway.
To be a big topic, right, and we never ever seem to get through all the content that we have prepared for topics. Lisa chose this topic. We resisted it for 2 weeks running because we were scared, And Lisa's not scared. Lisa pushes us. She's quite ballsy.
Can we Paula say that? Calls me grumpy.
She's real. Yeah. But yeah, so men somehow feel the need to wear these masks. You know, I actually was talking about this with my son this morning, and I said, you know, do you have anything to say about men, why they don't want to share their feelings? And he said, no, it's fine to be vulnerable, but it's not fine to be fragile. And I thought that was like such an interesting like way of phrasing it. You know, he said, you can be a little bit vulnerable, but there's a difference between being vulnerable and fragile. And I think maybe men perceive vulnerability as being fragility in a way.
Right. And I do think there is something about a fragile man, because there is an aspect of women who really, you know, in Hebrew, you call it gever gever, which means like a guy's guy. And there's something very appealing or even sexy about gever gever, you know?
Yeah.
And I do think for many women, fragility doesn't go hand in hand with that. And I could understand why men are afraid of it. I will preempt some of this, which is apparently I'm scary. And I saw this clip with them. I forget which actor it was. I'm totally blanking which actor it was. I sent it to my husband and I totally forgot which actor. But he was on a clip. Maybe it wasn't Dustin Hoffman. I'll remember by the end of the show. It doesn't matter. And he was being interviewed about marriage. And he said, I never, ever, ever give advice about marriage, like ever. He says, but I like to give one set of advice. And he goes, the marriages that work and go really well and last the test of time are the ones where the husband is absolutely, and then he swore, beep, 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 scared of his wife.
Wow. It's actually too true. Not scared, but just respectful, considerate, and not like just, well, I'll do whatever I want. Let's reframe that. But yeah, there's the joke, which is such a horrible joke, but it is a joke, and it's horrible because it's a stereotype. But there's little Johnny comes home, or let's call him little Shmuley comes home from school, and he says, Mommy, I got a part in the school play, I'm so excited. And she says, what part did you get? I got the Jewish husband part. She's like, couldn't you get a speaking role? So it's a horrible joke. It's a horrible joke. But why? Why do men, you know, why do they put on this mask of being okay? And Lise, I think you've really nailed it there, is that do we let them? Do we give them permission as women? Because, you know, I'm totally guilty of this. I tell my husband, you must tell me everything. I don't want you carrying things alone. Please share with me. And then the minute he shares something with me, I get so anxious because I am an anxious person and he doesn't like to see me anxious. And so I think it would make him a little bit less, you know,
in a rush to share something. To protect you.
To protect me, because I come across as maybe sometimes a little bit fragile, and that's not really fair, but it is my reaction.
Well, that's really the question, right, is can women also become a vessel? And maybe it's not fragility, because I agree with your son. I think it's so wise that he could name that.
I know,
vulnerability.
Right?
Yeah, it's really wise. Like, tap yourself on the shoulder. Like, yeah. Wow.
And yeah. That's all him, but, and the Russian literature he reads.
I think fragility scares us. But the truth is, I think a woman's fragility can also be scary for a man.
Yes.
You know, for example, a woman's fragility can sometimes look like when we have a mental health wobble or when we are just not
or
on
crying,
top of
crying. I think it scares men.
And I think fragility in general is scary because it looks like somebody's going to break. Whereas vulnerability looks like the way that I connect and get close to you. Having said that, I think we need to look at it and say, you know, the way things are set up in a marriage, let's use this as the premise and then we can go into the conversation, is the way that women and men get to closeness is completely opposite. I don't know why Hashem made us this way, but he did, which is men like intimacy or physicality, let's say, and then they feel loved and want to connect with you. And women are exactly the opposite. We want emotional intimacy and connection, and then we'll be physical. I don't know why we're built the opposite.
Yeah, seems like a design flaw.
Right, well, you would think, but I actually think it's about population control, right?
But it's hysterical.
That being the premise, then we can start to unpack how do we manage vulnerability, fragility, emotional showing upness, and then obviously what physical connection, which we're going to be limited how we can go there on a national radio show that children can listen to, but then we can really explore that maybe after the break.
I told you it was going to be a juicy show. We'll come back after the break.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
And we are back on Life and Lattes. Please WhatsApp us on 061-895-1019. Such a juicy topic today. And tell us, do you believe that cowboys don't cry? Do you believe that boys shouldn't cry? And what blocks you or the man in your life from sharing the struggle? I've got a WhatsApp here from Janine. Men often struggle to express vulnerability at work or in their marriages, but somehow every World Cup turns into a masterclass in emotional. Sorry, let me click this. A masterclass in emotional expression. Spot on. Especially the fake crying when they fake injured. I love that WhatsApp, Janine. Thank you so much for sending that through. Lise, we were about to go down a very, very interesting route. And what keeps? So we said that men put on a mask, and it starts very early. And in marriage, that's the opportunity to say, you know what, you're safe with me. I can hold these difficult feelings, and maybe. Maybe we don't go there. And then there's the mismatch of, you know, physical intimacy, helping a man to feel close so that he wants to connect emotionally, and woman being the exact opposite. Hashem's idea of a sense of humor.
I think we have this tendency to say, I want you to be vulnerable and I want you to show up. But then what we do is we don't necessarily, as women, create safety for that experience. Men have their own pekalach, right? They also don't necessarily always create safety for women.
Right.
You know, sometimes when men feel vulnerable, they have a tendency to shut down. And that shutdown can look like disinterest, as opposed to, I can't face what I'm feeling with you, so I'm disconnected. When you disconnect from a woman, she doesn't want to get close to you, because women want connection and then closeness. And so in order for a man to show up, right, he's got to feel, A, that he doesn't need to shut down. Or if he does shut down, she's going to shut. You know, we get into these sort of cycles of how we get close to each other. And in many ways, it requires a lot of bravery from both women and men. You know, I'll share with you, and I'll try to be as subtle as I can on live radio. But I was out for dinner the other night, and we were a bunch of middle-aged women. And they were all joking about getting a dog, okay? And why did they want to get a dog? Because if you get a dog and you put it in the middle of the bed, dogs are very loyal. And if your husband comes anywhere near you, the dog will bark. And the women were all killing themselves laughing, because it is funny, right?
Yeah.
But I happen to sit with a host of male clients, and they often will sit and talk to me about what it's like to put yourself out vulnerably for a woman. And often, you know, that's not just emotionally, it's also men start physically and then they get to emotions, right? Mm. And so one young guy, he once said to me, Lisa, I waited my whole life to be with my wife. And then finally getting to be with her felt like climbing a mountain. Like there was endless preparation, endless having to set things up that she would be in the mood and we could, you know, be together. And then he said, and then just when I thought I was going to get to the top of the mountain, she could maybe have a headache or just reject me. And he said, I can't begin to explain what that rejection feels like. And I'll do anything not to feel that rejection from her. Mm. And then you have a shutdown male who says, I don't feel that love from you. I'm going to shut down. And you have a woman who says, he doesn't know how to be vulnerable and connect. And marriage is being able to, it's wild, right? Yeah. It's like totally opposite.
And it's all unspoken, you know, that people are just reading each other's you know, cues and not understanding what is what each other are actually asking for, what they actually want, what it takes to let them really connect. And you just get into these mindless patterns, these like avoidance or, you know, and mistrust and misinterpretation, and it can just go so wrong. That's sad.
Yes.
That's really sad.
I love what you said. I love what you said, that I think it's all often unspoken.
Mm.
And while I think men are learning, our sons are certainly learning. You know, one of the things I'm loving about the Israeli army that I'm starting to see is, for the first time, I think in the history of Israel, vulnerability in the army is becoming a real thing, because the boys are losing friends.
Mm.
And they're young. And it's so fascinating to me. I have young men coming into my office really talking about feelings. And I often come home to my husband and I say, I wish you guys had learned to talk about feelings. It is changing.
That is massive. What an amazing statement. That's incredible. Wow.
Yeah. And I don't know that it's always true, but I think the shift is there, is because we want to connect and we want to be seen. But I think there's a journey for women to be able to say, as much as I love Gever, I love a manly man, I can also hold your vulnerability and not fall apart myself. You know, it's the same in many ways with our kids. Our kids aren't going to come to us with their vulnerability if they keep thinking we're going to fall apart. You know,
Or if we escalate, we don't just hold it. If we we have this massive reaction, and then, you know, it becomes about soothing us instead of they're the ones with the issue. Yeah,
exactly. You know, and I have people who are so tied to it. You know, that stupid saying in English, no one, you know, you're only as happy as your most miserable child. That's such nonsense, right? Mm. Because if my child is going through something, I can feel unhappy. But if they have to hold my pain and their pain, because now I'm miserable because they're unhappy, they don't want to talk to me about it because it's too heavy.
Mm.
And the minute I can be a resource for them, they can bring it to me.
Yeah.
In marriages, it's the same. Unless I can create a space to say, we can handle this together, men aren't going to bring their vulnerability to us.
And I think we always talk about what women want, what women need, you know, to feel love, to have that connection. But we don't ever think about what do men need. I mean, this is really, really interesting to me. And, you know, it's like that saying I was telling my husband last night. I don't understand the whole thing about, you know, he left the toilet seat up. Who says we're entitled to the toilet seat down? Like, I don't understand. It's about considering the other person, but it's not about being entitled to something. You know, it's like just a long-standing meme that they left the toilet seat up. But, you know, I don't even understand that, because it's like, so, you know, like, who said it has to be the way that you want it? And I think it's about getting into their head. Anne, you've been very quiet on the show, and we need to make we need to put him on his toes. He's way too chilled. Come on. Let's go there.
No, I'm just thinking a lot about what you're saying around the subjectivity of like how we see the world. And I think it's true, but I also think it's changing. So I definitely validate that point. Like, you know, the subjectivity of I see the world through my lens and my filters of how it should be, whether it's as a woman or just as a person.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that it's definitely shifting. Like, if you see now some of the interviews with the NBA players, and they are very vulnerable and they are very emotional. And you will see these superstars that a lot of the generation today look up to as role models and almost idealize these athletes. When they speak about their faith or they speak about loss, you know, I can't pronounce the one guy's name, but he had lost a mother, and then he had an incredible win, and they were interviewing him. And he was hugely vulnerable and very tearful and emotional. And he actually stopped at one point to kind of look up at the sky, I guess, to have a moment to connect with his mom. And the camera zoomed in on that moment. And it was so emotional. And these interviews went wild, because I think people are desperate to have these strong, larger than life performers actually just show this very human side.
Permission. The people are desperate for permission.
Yes, but I don't believe it's no longer a, like we said at the beginning, a woman thing. I think it's just a human thing.
Yeah.
And the more the men are taking off these armors, you know, it doesn't actually detract from them. It actually makes them even more amazing. Like, you're more inspired when you hear what they've gone through or what they've endured, and not just the, you know, not just the number one. Or now, you know, in this Netflix documentary with Rafa Nadal, the whole documentary is about his injuries and his pain and what he had to go through. And it like pulls on your heartstrings. But most people just see, oh my gosh, like number one, number two seed in the world, like amazing, you know. Mm. But you actually get to see the real story and the struggle and the vulnerability and the emotion behind the person. And it's painful. But for me, it makes them far more real and relatable. And it adds a lot, so many layers and dimensions to these male heroes and role models and superstars than just being these outstanding performers.
Well, I do think, Andy, like, there's a tendency for us to value that in sport. And yet I think in marriage, it's a totally different ballgame. I think we can do that in the public place. And I think where couples really struggle is showing up vulnerably in a marriage. Because understand, what is vulnerability?
The struggle, yes, but the importance, no.
Right, but what I'm saying is that we tend to get it in the big world out there, but we're not getting it in relationships so well. You know, if you look at our divorce rate, it's unbelievably high, which means something's going wrong. And I have met couple after couple after couple who'll say to me, I will share intimate things with a friend before I share them with my partner, which is kind of shocking to me. And I wonder, what's going on? Like, how do we renegotiate safety in marriages? And because this is the part about vulnerability in a marriage, that people, which is different to watching a tennis star in their vulnerable place, because you have no power over that tennis star.
Right.
But when you're sitting in a marriage and your husband comes along with something vulnerable, or you come to your husband with something vulnerable, the contract is, I'm going to let you know that very, very vulnerable button inside of me, and you're never going to push it. And the biggest fear is that the person's going to push it and use it against me. And marriage, when we talk about consideration, is saying, I know that weakest point in you.
And I'll never use it.
And I'll never use it. I'm your biggest champion.
Yeah.
And I think women get a lot of that from them. They'll stop being mean to each other and eventually be kind. They become champions. But men have a tendency to not really talk about the hard stuff. They talk about sports, they talk about work, but they don't talk about net worth and self-worth, that if I'm not earning enough, I don't feel valuable enough. Or they don't talk about what rejection feels like. You know, they all joke about it, but they don't really talk about it. And so I think there's a lot of the intimate, really, really human stuff.
And loneliness.
Yeah, that I think doesn't come up. And in a marriage, it's saying you could hurt me with it, but you won't. Or you won't see me as so fragile.
Right, that's what I was going to say. It's not only that you won't press that button, but it's that I won't be lowered in your eyes because you've seen the side of me. Yeah.
Right.
Because men need admiration. Men need admiration. Women need appreciation, as Linda Levy puts it. Yes.
I learned that from my Rebbetzin Pavlov. She used to say men, their primary needs is respect or admiration. And then they have other needs. And a woman's primary need is to be adored or cherished. You know, or as Versace said, to be made to feel beautiful.
Love
which
that.
Which sounds so superficial, but it isn't.
That's it. Yeah. That's what we need. That's not beautiful. Complicated. Yeah.
But then it's also going a little further and saying, you know, in a marriage, once I commit to marriage, there's only one place where I can get certain things. So, you know, I remember, he's not listening, but I'm going to tell him I said it on live camera anyway. When I first got married, so I was from a family of three sisters, you know, two sisters. So we were like used to descriptive words. Like when you got dressed, it was a discussion, what you look like. And suddenly I got married and I'd spent an hour getting ready and I came downstairs and I said to Saul, how does this look? And he was like, nice. That's not even a word, right?
That word is banned.
And then the discussion went later on to say, you know, call me superficial, but I have a need to be made to feel beautiful. And if I don't get that from you, where am I going to get it? Because it's not appropriate and it's not desirable for me to get it from anyone else. I could, but I don't want to. So the only place that it's safe for me to be made to feel beautiful is with you. So you got to step up.
Yeah.
That's where I'm scary.
But I love that because he can't read your mind. And I think that we often expect that men will read our mind, or men expect that their wives will read what they need. And it's right. a recipe for disaster in a marriage. You know, just because someone loves you doesn't mean they're, you know, a baby has a right to say, okay, mommy, when I make this cry or that cry, mommy intuits what exactly I want. But, you know, once you grow up, you actually have to use your words and you need to tell people, you know, how you feel. Otherwise, they don't know, and tell them what you need. Otherwise, they don't know.
Right. The flip side is when men feel shame, they have a tendency to shut down.
Mm.
And so women experience the shutdown as opposed to the communication.
Yeah.
So interesting. Right? It's like instead of love languages, you're actually reading the languages that the man is using to communicate when he shut down or when he avoids emotional intimacy by work or going to shul or going to, you know, play golf all the whole of Sunday or whatever men do. You know, you got to understand this is also a language, and what language is he speaking? What does it mean? And to try get him to actually eventually use his words. But until that stage, you need to be able to read the room.
And more than that, we have to hold as women a certain degree of responsibility, which I know women don't like hearing people say, right? Which is we tend to just dismiss, oh, guys and everything with men is just sexual and blah, blah. Except once you're in a marriage, if I'm saying men use physicality to feel loved and then they're willing to be vulnerable, when women close the door on that and you want a loyal, faithful husband, you have to hold what that rejection is like for them. And you don't get to check out. Like, we joke about buying the dog and putting it in the middle of the bed, but it's actually not that funny.
It's not funny. You know? It's fascinating because I actually never saw the whole thing, you know, I have a headache or I'm tired, as a rejection. I never saw that a man would feel rejected. I mean, I never realized that sex is not just, you know, just sex to men. It's something deeper, and so that's them being vulnerable. And then when they are rejected, that hurts. You know, I honestly never thought, I never realized that. Truly.
And I'm not saying women have to now always do what men want to do when they want to do it, because we work on different clocks, and that's acceptable too.
Yeah.
But at least to have a sensitivity to it.
Yeah.
And to be able to hold, okay, like it's at least a consideration, even if I'm still entitled to have a headache.
Absolutely. I think we need to come back to this word consideration after the break.
Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Welcome back to Life and Lattes. This is such an interesting conversation. I wanted to come back to the point of consideration because I know, Lise, you've got something to say about that. Tell us.
So I think we underestimate it totally as a word. While I am scarier, I'll give my husband fair due where he has. But this happened to me many, many years ago, and I learned this from my late granny who lived till 102.
Wow.
But I remember years and years ago, I'd just given birth to my fourth kid, and she was a really challenging baby. And I'm standing in shul. It was my nephew's bar mitzvah, and she's like kvetching, you know, she's just starting on me. But everyone is so taken by the bar mitzvah that they don't realize me with this few week old baby was actually like silently suffering. Maybe like I was really struggling. She was just difficult and I was getting irritated. And no, my mom, people were all around me, but it was just nothing anyone noticed because there was a bar mitzvah going on. And I don't know how, somehow, I guess Saul felt, and he was standing on the other side, on the men's side, nowhere near me, but I guess he somehow intuited or got that I was actually really struggling. I don't even know if he remembers this story. And he saunters quietly over into the shul and then just like eye contacts with me and says to me, just give me the baby. And so I hand him this baby and I'm like visibly relieved. And my granny, who had sort of just watched that whole interaction, turned around to me and she said, that's why I love him so much. And I went, what? And she liked him more than me, but okay. And then she went, he's just so considerate. And I thought, that's such an exciting word to describe one's husband. Like, what do you mean considerate? Like, couldn't you come up with something more sparky? Like, amazing?
Yeah.
And that the longer I was married, I've often reflected on that. And I think, wow, like if I were to think of the one word that would really maketh the marriage, I actually think it might be consideration.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't mean I always have to say yes. It doesn't mean I always have to give in. It doesn't mean that I always give. Sometimes I take, but at least it means at core, I'll consider you.
Isn't that amazing? We think of the word considerate as nice, you know, nice or kind. Kind and considerate are almost like synonyms, but considerate is to consider the other. Mm-hmm. I mean, I really think that's a really amazing point. Golden nuggets on this show, really, all the time. So on 061, what is it? 061-895-1019. One day this will go into my long-term memory. I think we should also talk about the burden that men have to provide. And it really is a little bit unfair. Just because they're a male, it's this expectation that they carry the lion's share. Yes, of course, women do have the, you know, the lion's share of caring for children and holding what every child needs in mind and the, you know, liaising with the schools, etc. But I remember doing a course on money management many years ago, and the guy actually said something so amazing. He said, "Do you love your husband?" This was actually a video course. He said, "If you love your husband, then you're not going to spend money and make sure that he has to work until he drops dead. You're going to be careful with money because that is his work. That's his day. That's his effort that's creating a lot of that money. And spending his money, you know, without a care to the effort that goes into making that money is just in making sure that he never gets to retire." So it was just such a bizarre connection to make between, like, you know, being considerate when you spend money as well. I mean, I understand the show is a lot about particular gender roles, and we are being very stereotypical. Obviously, there are many women who earn more than their husbands, etc. Mm-hmm. But I think in general, you know, men do have to carry that. They carry that responsibility, and it's a massive, massive load. And sometimes they crack, and they if they can't share it, you know, just really terrible things happen.
You know, in the end, I actually can't remember if it's at the end or the beginning, but of the Barbie movie, when they speak about the stereotypes of men and women, there is this amazing excerpt of, it's a monologue, and it basically says, it's literally impossible to be a woman. You are beautiful and smart, and it kills me that you don't ever think you're good enough, right? You have to be extraordinary, but somehow we think we're always doing it wrong. You have to be thin, but not too thin. You can never say you want to be thin. You have to say you want to be healthy, but you also have to be thin. You have to have money, but you can't ask for money because that's crass. You have to be a boss, but you can't be mean. You have to lead, but you can't squash other people's ideas. You're supposed to love being a mother, but don't talk about your kids the whole time. You have to be a career woman, but also always be looking out for other people. You have to answer for men's behavior, which is insane, because if you point that out, you're accused of complaining. You're supposed to be pretty, but not so pretty that you tempt other women, because you're supposed to be part of a sisterhood. Always stand out, but always be grateful. Never forget that the system is rigged. And find a way to acknowledge that, but also always be grateful. You must never get old, never be rude, never show off, never be selfish, never fall down, never fail, never show fear, never get out of line. It's just hard and contradictory, and no one gives you a medal. And it turns out, in fact, that you are not, that not only are you doing everything wrong, but everything is your fault. And she goes on to say, I'm so tired of watching myself and every other woman tie herself into knots so that people will like them. And if all of this is true for a doll, then I don't even know. So I took that excerpt and I plugged it into AI. And I said, if that is true for women, what does it say about a man?
Ooh, let's hear.
And it said, it is not easy being a man. You are expected to be strong, but not intimidating. Sensitive, but not weak. Confident, but not arrogant. Successful, but not consumed by ambition. You are told to lead, but not dominate. Provide, but don't define yourself by providing. Open up, but not so much that you make others uncomfortable. Be vulnerable, but never lose control. You are expected to carry pressure quietly, to have answers when life offers none, to stay calm when everyone around you is overwhelmed, to protect the people you love even when you feel uncertain yourself. As a husband, you want to be present, supportive, loving, and dependable. As a father, you want your children to feel safe, seen, and deeply loved. You want to give them confidence, opportunities, and security even on the days when you are questioning yourself. And yet, many men walk through life asking questions they rarely speak out loud. Am I doing enough? Am I giving enough? Am I enough? Many learned how to achieve, solve, compete, and endure, but few are taught how to process disappointment, loneliness, fear, or grief. So they carry it quietly, not because they don't feel deeply, but because they learned that being needed was safer than being known. The truth is that behind every title, father, husband, son, brother, leader, provider, is a human being carrying hopes, fears, responsibilities, and dreams. A man who wants to be respected, yes, but also understood, appreciated, encouraged, loved, not just for what he produces or fixes, earns or accomplishes, but for who he is. So perhaps real strength was never about carrying everything alone. Perhaps real strength is showing up day after day with courage, integrity, and heart. Perhaps it is having the humility to say, this is hard. Perhaps it is allowing yourself to be seen, because every man deserves to know that his worth is not measured solely by the weight he carries, but by the character he brings to carrying it. And sometimes the strongest thing a man can hear is this: you do not have to earn your value, you already have it.
Gosh, ChatGPT. That is fascinating.
AI.
That is AI, wow.
And it's interesting to take the monologue and flip it
and
into
flip
a
it.
Man's world.
That was such a clever thing to do. Wow. Okay, let's unpack that after the break.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
You're listening to Life and Lattes. What a stunning song by Dave Matthews, You and Me. And we actually have to wrap up the show. And I told you, we never, ever get through what we wanted to talk about. Right now, we do want to just close out with talking about, you know, this. There is such a fine line between women wanting to be looked after, and it is an essential need, just like wanting to feel that we're beautiful, and then the burden falls on men, and then, you know, and what do men do with that, and how do they express how hard that is without making a woman feel unsafe? I don't know. Lise, any thoughts?
I think it's this dance, and I think it's the dance of consideration, you know, as much as, well, we're aging and getting older, you know, and certainly none of us look 20 anymore, and yet you still really need and want your husband to remember to tell you you look beautiful, you know, or to feed that part of you, or to see how challenging it can be, or whatever, your dreams, your whatever it might be, forget just how you look physically. And I think for men, there's still that piece, you know, they do walk through the light, through a world that still speaks this sentence of net worth and self-worth, you know, and that we like to be provided for. And it's not that necessarily they always play that role, but it has to at least be that we can create safety about what that conversation feels like, without seeing it as fragility, but as vulnerability, and that's a place where we can become closer, you know, in our building of something, of connecting through something, and that it doesn't always flow with great ease. I don't think we have to get rid of our needs or desires or primary human, you know, things, whether it's respect or feeling cherished. Like, I don't think we have to get rid of those things. I think we have to acknowledge those are our things and then take care of each other in those places.
Yeah, you have to be able to communicate in those places, to have that emotional presence to hold those needs, even if you can't click your fingers and satisfy those needs, but that you hold them and you don't see the person as less because they have that need. And you don't then use that, you know, use that button and that vulnerability, don't press that button, you know, and that you can receive that person, you know, their vulnerability without becoming critical, reactive, dismissive, shut down.
In coaching, we often say, how am I choosing to meet the moment?
I love that. So that's all we have time for, girls. I don't know how we can we have one last word from Andy.
I think marriage and successful marriage is like the great journey of consciousness, you know, and the more we get conscious of each other as opposed to being able to fix everything, but really conscious and then considerate of what that consciousness brings up, I think that's where we find happy, beautiful marriages. And I think we have a tendency in the world to go unconscious and shut down. And that's where I think we see the breakdown of marriage.
That was absolutely brilliant. And that we need to percolate about until we see you again next week. And hopefully we will talk about men's vulnerability in the workplace next week, because we have to. We didn't even go there. And we'll talk about other things, and we will enjoy every moment as we always do, spending this time with you on Chai FM. See you next week.